It's Monday, January 23rd. And I'm Michael Matamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Blake Thompson.
Tom Wasselbeck.
John Fink.
Dean DeBoat.
And you know, we're working on developing responses to everything that you've put on the table today. Okay. But, you know, one of the things that we needed to go back and kind of take a test of how, whether there was any interest or not, was the concept of the promotional tracks, the additional promotional tracks. Because if, we think that's a pretty critical piece to our negotiations in this round, and also if there's no interest in it, we wanted to be able to relay that level of. So we've had conversations since the last time we've met, and what has come of these, and Anita, correct me if I mistake.
Okay.
But what has come of all of this is that there is an interest in that.
Is.
Okay. And I think they want us to have a conversation today to bring back to them as to how that would tee up. Now, is there any area of now there's several pieces of all of this. Mm-hmm. Is there something that they would like further explanation?
I think they
can I ask you a question?
I think they understood pretty much the way it was framed here.
Well, in which, real quickly.
Okay, sure.
So we proposed two paths, right, which we would be perfectly fine with either path,
right?
One path is incorporating, building it off of the multi-year contract, right?
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are both ways reflected here?
There's two separate proposals.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And so
okay.
It was when only Brendan and Steve were here, and that was the first one.
Right.
Okay.
And during that meeting, we put forward a proposal which builds off of the multi-year contract structure that we already have for instructors and lecturers, right? So as long as they're getting excellent or above on their dean's level, you know, at 3 years, they get their first multi-year contract, and then at 6 years in, they get their second multi-year contract, right? And at that time, they get $1,000, right? So basically, if they keep going all the way through, every 6 years, they get an additional $1,000. We proposed no file or anything, keeping that same structure, but the first time, instead of $1,000, they would get $5,000 and a promotion rank, and that would be at year 6, right? And then at year 12, assuming continuous progression, they would get $5,000 again in promotion to the full rank, right? The second rank, right? So
slow down for 1 second.
Yeah.
The second time is after 6 years, after 6 more years?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Let's see if I have the previous.
Okay. I just was catching.
Right. Yeah. So okay. This was the summary of it that we had on there. So basically, that's what it would. And that should be in the record.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just a visual summary, assuming that they had everything. A faculty member was continuing to get excellent or above on their dean's rating, right? So they're hired, their first 3 years are 1 year contracts, then they get their first 3 year contract and it goes to there, right? So here at year 6, they would get their next 3 year contract, and instead of $1,000 to base salary, they'd get $5,000 and a promotion rank at year 6, which mirrors where we are on our tenure promotion for tenure line faculty at year 6, where they get the promotion, right? And then basically it just doubles again at year 12, assuming everything is continuous, right? And then it would just continue on normally at the multi-year contract with the $1,000 to base on every 6 years.
So there would with this plan, it looks like there's 3 tiers. Beginning, middle, I don't know what they're called.
Well, this
medium,
this,
large.
This well, it would be the position codes would be, you'd be hired as an instructor, right? Then you'd have associate instructor, and then university instructor, right? With those additional $1,000, that's, we already have that now, right? It's just this part to year 18 where it says they get $1,000. We currently have that now. Like for every yeah. 6 years, they get that additional $1,000. Yeah. So there's no promotion or anything. So it's just they're hired an instructor, and they have associate instructor, and then university instructor. So it's the same thing as assistant professor, associate professor, full professor. Right?
Is there any... must they achieve anything other than time in the job?
No. Well, they have to receive the standard.
Under this one,
the standard for this one is currently they have to receive an excellent or better dean's overall evaluation for 3 consecutive years in order to get the next multi-year contract, right? So that standard is unchanged. There's no file submission here. It's just essentially all we're changing is the first $1,000 to $5,000 in a promotion, right? Change in title
after
6 years, and then at year 12, it's instead of 1,000, it's 5,000 and a change in title, right? The rationale behind that is for instructors and lecturers are not evaluated on scholarship, right? and that they are evaluated on service and teaching, and that is, you know. It doesn't seem like there's a lot that you could necessarily add to a file, right, a review that's not already reflected in those annual evaluations, right? It seems like there would be, the way in which, compared to what you have to do in tenure and promotion, right, where you have to, 95% of the conversation is about analyzing the scholarship, right, even though obviously that's less than 95% of our job. So that was the initial, that's path one, if you want to do it with an automatic trigger based on what we've already built into the system. Right now, as reflected in that conversation with Brendan and Steve, they said, well, the impression that we got, which they reaffirmed, was that that instructors and lecturers should potentially put forward a file for review, mm-hmm. right? That the file model will give a fuller structure, a fuller evaluation, and that they seemed uncomfortable with the automatic trigger, mm-hmm. right? And so with that, we said, well, okay, we can go forward with that as well. And that's what we put forward last time, right? And so the file, the one for putting forward a file, we believe the best way to do that is to have an MOU, right? And that MOU, I have a copy of that draft here. This is a draft MOU, mm-hmm. right? This outlines, like, you know, the all of the things that have to happen for that to take place, right? So departments have to create their individual enhanced criteria, right? So individual departments have to sit down and define what does it mean, you know, what are the necessary departmental criteria that have to be met, right, for instructors and lecturers and teaching service, et cetera, right? And the university criteria, that document needs, you know, to go through that process as well, right? And so in the contract, so there would be an MOU stating all of those, that timeline and process, right, for how those different groups would go about mm-hmm. the timelines they have to do that. And we've figured in a couple of years for that because they have to generate criteria and then faculty have to have time to put together a file if they want to go up, right? So there's a couple of years for mm-hmm. all that. The only things we would, in the contract, the only things that we would change in the contract are the percentage increase amount, because that's, we have that in the salary article, right? And we're proposing, because they're putting forward a file, just like all the other promotions, it would be 13%, right? Because they're having to put forward a file, go through review, those sort of things. And we would probably have to update the, or like order of layoff, things like that, right? If we're gonna have ranks for individuals. And then the last component, and Ian and I and George Ellenberg and Rainey talked about this the other day, about position codes. And we were having a conversation about, do position codes need to go through bargaining? Is it something that can go through PERC, right? And so that's something else we'll have to talk about as well, about can position codes be updated? Is it required for us to, essentially, is that appendix part of the contract that needs to go through collective bargaining?
Well,
or can the university put that? But
well, see, I think whether or not the process of creating a new position mm-hmm. has already been negotiated. because, and we have a process where it's it's Article 8, where it says we create a new position, we designate it as inside the unit or outside the unit, and we give you notice. You can come and consult about it, and then it says if following such discussion the UFF disagrees with the designation, it may request the Florida Public Employees Relations Commission to resolve the dispute through unit clarification petition. So I think if we can create these positions, and then if you disagree with our placement of them in or outside of the unit, but I wouldn't imagine that you would have a disagreement if, because we're not proposing creating unit positions outside the unit.
Well, again, you know the process. I mean, if we believe that we, if you're classifying a position outside the unit, and we believe it should be in the unit, then we file a charge with PERC, and PERC decides. Now, the way I've always preferred to run the process, because I understand legally that's what we're supposed to do, which is when we do PERC, create a new position, before we include it finally in the bargaining, we still have to go to PERC for the joint.
Well, yeah, you do eventually, you know. Right. I mean, it's technically, we could put them in the our appendix.
Well, right, at some point, you're right. You need to go to PERC and get PERC.
Wouldn't be a representation. That would just be a unit clarification.
Right. We put these forward simply because, we weren't attuned to all of those details of the contract, but because this was part of the contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just for simplicity's sake, all these position codes, except for the associate research associate and the university research associate, all of these ones already exist with PERC in the UNF contract.
Okay.
Right? So we're not inventing position codes. Like, we can very easily incorporate
the titles.
Ideas.
Yeah.
And we also recommended having the curator one in there now, because we recently acquired the Pensacola Museum of Art downtown. Right?
Okay.
So we might. So,
let me ask. I'm not trying to put anybody. But go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was just going to say, I think on the old statewide contract, Board of Regents maintain this long list of positions, classification codes. And so, like at PAMU, we've got positions in the bargaining unit, even though we don't have any positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a position that's been in there since time immemorial. So. Yeah.
They're probably at a hospital one day.
I need some clarification.
Okay, go ahead.
Right now, I'm more confused than I was before.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So, if you don't mind, we're going to kind of embellish on something that was really brought up in consultation, but I need some help.
Okay.
So, I'm just talking about the clinical positions right now.
Okay, yeah.
I'm moving a little bit over here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because we talked about it at our consultation, mm-hmm. about the clinical positions, and it sounds like we can add them. And if you disagree that we shouldn't, and we're going to add them in unit, but if you disagree with that, you can file with PERC.
But why would you file with PERC?
Are we all on the same page? So we don't have to file with PERC to get that to happen. Am I understanding? Am I at?
I mean, at some point, it's good to do some cleanup, and if you have a bunch of positions, you shoot it over at PERC. But every time you add a position, I don't think you have to run off to PERC the next day.
Well, there's another complicated step to that, right? What we had a consultation about is the university has hired clinical assistant professors who are non-tenure line faculty, but hired them under 9003 position codes, right, which is assistant professor. And the contract in the tenure article explicitly says assistant professors have to be tenure earning. Right,
right. So they shouldn't be there. They should be.
Right.
They should be
so moved. We didn't have the position codes in there, right?
Right.
He's exactly right.
You know, and so our consultation was about, well, how do we rectify this? So two options, either make them tenure earning, right, the clinical assistant professors, or, you know, get these clinical assistant professor tenure codes in the contract. So then the question becomes, do we need to bargain it? Or as your position, you just stated that the
process.
Article 8 is already out.
Self-executing.
We can add them immediately. I'm trying to figure out the logistics, and I really would like it if we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
We can add it immediately and get those people squared away in the right place. Because they're not in the right place.
What we can't answer for you today, which I don't know the answer to, is how those individual faculty, like what promises have been made to them, right, related to that we can't answer. But we'll have a consultation about it. But
but we're still going to move forward and get them squared away.
You're going to move forward with putting those position codes in.
Yeah, here. So that okay. We can get them squared away, so that they're in the right place and not the wrong place.
Well,
we'll have a quick consultation just about that. Answer you.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, while we're all here, can we just
right? But we would need them to just a quick, very quick call. Can you give us 5 minutes. Just
do you want us to quit?
Yeah, just follow.
So absolutely, absolutely.
I think the only question that remains is whether or not they're going to be tenured or tenure earning.